wherever people go to church, if the pastor, if he is not pointing you to Jesus Christ, then there's a problem. Because he is the one who never changes, amen? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the head of the church.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone. We pray that you're having a great day, and we're so glad you've tuned in. Today, Pastor Bill's study from 1 Timothy continues with the message he's entitled, Honor Elders. Let's listen in.
Amen. This morning we're going to talk about one of your favorite subjects, and that's the pastor. Amen. It's going to be interesting. You know, we're going to talk about honoring the elders. We talked about honoring widows. Now Paul is telling Timothy to honor the elders who are elders indeed and who rule and so forth. You get that term, respect your elders. Actually, that's where this comes from. Remember that Timothy, how would you like to be this young man? Think about it. He's not married. He's all alone. He's reestablishing the church there in Ephesus that has fallen apart. And he's commanded to stop the false teachers, those that are spreading the myths and the fables and the genealogies and all the other things. He's commanded not only that, but to reinstate prayer, get prayer back in the church, and to raise women to their rightful place, that they would learn the word of God. And more than that, that he was to reestablish godly leadership at Ephesus. He was also told how to treat the older men, the older women, the younger sisters, the younger brothers, and so forth. And then he was taught and told everyone how we should honor real widows. And this morning, we're going to look at four things. We're going to look, when it talks about honoring the elders here, we're going to do number one, how do you honor the elders? Number two, protecting the elders. Number three, rebuking the elders. And number four, selecting the elders. Now, with all that being said, let's define that word elder before we begin in verse 17. You recall there that we learned in chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, where it talked about the bishop, which in Greek is the episkopos, or the overseer. He oversees the work of the church and so forth. Then you have the word elder, which is just an older person. And then you have the word pastor in Greek, or poimen. These terms throughout the New Testament here, remember, are all used interchangeably for one person, and that is the pastor or the overseer of the church. In 1 Peter 5:1, it says, he says, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, partaker of the glory that will be revealed. He says, shepherd, that word again, that's the word for pastor. Pastor the flock of God, which is among you, serving as episkopos, overseers, or elders. In Paul's farewell message, remember in Acts chapter 20, when he's speaking to the elders of Ephesus, and it says in Acts 20:28, he says, take heed to yourselves and the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers or elders, episkopos. He says, and shepherd or pastor the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So remember, the theme and the purpose of writing 1 Timothy is found in chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, where he says, Timothy, I'm writing this letter unto you so you would know how to conduct yourself in the house of the living God, the pillar of truth. Amen? Now, with all that being said, this morning, we're going to look at the role of pastors and elders and so forth, but let's begin. It says, let the elders who rule how? Say it with me. Well. Now, what does that mean? Rule. You like that word? that's really an unfortunate translation, okay? Because if you looked into the original languages, that doesn't mean that you're a dictator or anything like that. To rule well, that word rule literally means just to stand before and lead the flock. In other words, you're a shepherd, and shepherds aren't dictators, amen? Only three if you know that? No, they're not. Sheep are not meant to be driven. They're meant to be led. and they need a shepherd to do that. So how does a pastor, elder, whichever word you want to use this morning, how do they rule well? Well, you can go back to chapter 3, and there's all these qualifications, but let me just give you one. In 1 Timothy 3:4, it says here, it says, one who, talking about the pastor, one who rules or leads his own household well, having his children in submission with all reverence, or literally respect. It says, if a man does not know how to rule or manage or lead his own house, how will he take care or minister to the needs of the church of the living God? He can't do it. So spiritual leadership, loved one, listen, it always begins in the home, amen? If you have an unruly home, you're going to have an unruly church. And so it just doesn't work that way. So Jesus, what does he do? He entrusts his church that he purchased with his own blood with those who love their family. Why? Because the church is a family, amen? We're all brothers and sisters. We're all members of the body of Christ, which Jesus is the head. So if a man can't take care of his own home, all right, well, then it's going to be very difficult for him to take care and lead and minister to the flock of God. He says, so let the elders who rule be counted worthy of a double honor. Isn't that a great word? Yeah, that's a great word, of a double honor. He says, not all the elders are to be honored, but watch this, especially those who do two things. They labor in the word and they labor in doctrine. In other words, those that are in full-time ministry. So pastor elders who rule well, they love the sheep just like he loves his own family and leads them. Now, it says, those are to be counted worthy of a double honor. Now, it says, especially those who labor. Do you know that Paul the Apostle uses the word labor more than any other New Testament author? And the word labor there literally in the Greek means I'm worn out or to be worn out. It means to labor to the point of exhaustion. What is he telling us? He's telling if you want to be in the ministry, ministry is work. Amen? Now, he says, especially those who labor in the word, that means preaching the word, and in doctrine, that's teaching the word of God. And I want you to listen very carefully now. When it says double honor, that's not a gift. In other words, double honor is not a gift. That's something that pastors, those who serve, missionaries, whoever they are, you know, they deserve that. Amen? In other words, they've worked, they earned, they're working for the Lord. You know, I know personally for myself. See, unless, you know, you've heard until you walk in someone's shoes, you don't know what's going on. Amen? And so, you know, the truth is that the ministry, and I don't think it, maybe it's, I just speak for me. It is the most demanding thing that I have ever done in my life. But it's also the greatest thing. And the most joy and the most heartache, okay? But there is nothing more noble than teaching the Word of God. Man, I mean, that, what a privilege and honor to be able to do that, amen? And, you know, where you just, because we love the Word here at Calvary, amen? So it talks about that who labor in Word and doctrine, that double honor. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, it says, we urge you, Paul writes, he says, brethren, he says, I want you to recognize, that word means to respect, appreciate, or value. I want you to recognize those who labor among you and are over you. There's that word again, meaning to lead. Those that are over you in the Lord and admonish you, meaning they teach you the word of God, they instruct you in the word of God, and sometimes they warn from the word of God. And here it comes in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 5, and to esteem them very highly in love. In other words, overwhelm them with love. What a great word. And here's the reason. It says, for their works' sake. So Paul commands the believers there in Thessalonica. He says, listen, esteem them. That word just simply means hold them in a high regard. And the reason that they do that is because they labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? They work for the Lord. They're wanting to fulfill their ministry. And every Christian should want to fulfill whatever God's called them to do. But it's very important that you understand here. The word, it says esteem, doesn't mean to exalt. Amen? Oh, Never do that. No. Esteem doesn't mean to exalt. And it's not about their position. If you're going to esteem something, esteem their work because of what they're doing for the Lord. And that's what the Bible teaches us. So double honor. That's an interesting study on that word. You know, the first century pastor, there's a huge difference between the first century pastor and the 21st century pastor. Amen? I mean, you know, today's Christian can be a digital disciple. Isn't that right? I mean, my gosh, you have your own celebrity pastors today. You know, you can go to their podcast, to their teachings, and you have all these sermons online and so forth, and you can be discipled by everyone online, but are you really being discipled? Amen? And sometimes they esteem those that are online more than the church home and the pastor there, which is fine, but here's the deal. We're not to value so much the messenger. We are to value the message, amen? And that's what's important. It says in Hebrews 13, 17, Paul, which I believe is the author of Hebrews, he says this. He says, remember, don't forget the pastor. He says, remember those who rule over you, those who lead you. Again, that's not a dictator, okay? It says, and they have, number two, spoken the word of God to you. And it says, whose faith follow or faith imitate, considering the outcome of their conduct. So, you know, when you look at those who are in the ministry and so forth, you know, Warren Wiersbe, who is now home with the Lord, he commented on this verse, and I've always remembered it. He said, you know, the word that I just read to you, he says, you know, the pastors, he says, who's teaching, do they have a message worth remembering? That's a good word, because it says, remember those who rule or lead over you. And he also said, do they have a lifestyle? The word conduct was used. Do they have a lifestyle worth considering? And do they have a faith that is worth imitating? That's a good word and something that I've listened to. You know, it says to imitate their faith. That doesn't mean to imitate their mannerisms or their teaching style, or it doesn't mean their personality. You never, ever, loved one, listen to me, you never build your life on a servant of God. Amen. Amen. Oh, no, you build your life on Jesus Christ. Amen. And every pastor, wherever people go to church, if the pastor, if he is not pointing you to Jesus Christ, then there's a problem. Because he is the one who never changes, amen? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's the one, he's the head of the church. And people that are in the ministry, or should be, only because they're called by God. So man, never point to man. It says in Hebrews 13, 17, obey those who rule over you. There's that word again. It means to lead. Obey those who rule over you. Be submissive. I always laugh at that one. Be submissive. I'm joking. It says, why? Well, they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. You're going to stand before the Lord and give an account. I am too. Amen. And he says, let them do so with joy and not grief. Hallelujah, Lord. That's a great word, isn't it? Let me read it again. I like it so much. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. Oh, here comes your part. For that would be unprofitable to you. I'll let you interpret that, okay? Listen, here's what I know about pastors. Pastors care. Real pastors. Okay? They love you. Do you know that pastors even love the unlovely? They really do, because Jesus lives in them just like he lives in you. And you know, we deal with all kinds of people. And I'm so thankful for the pastors here at this church. Oh, that love the youth, that love the people, that, you know what I'm saying, and the elders and all the servant leaders. I'm so blessed because I know they care. Amen? That's such a blessing to me. But the word double honor, in the Greek, it is timē. That word literally, it means price. So what is Paul saying about the double honor? We get the word pay or the word honorarium. So what is God's word teaching about pastors? Well, that they are to, you know, you have to pay them something. Amen? William's translation, I really like it, says, deserving twice the salary they get. I have that one on my refrigerator at home. And the reason Paul says this in verse 18, look at it carefully now, for the scripture says, for the word of God says, he's going to quote Deuteronomy 25:4, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. So he's now quoting Jesus in Luke's gospel, I believe, is chapter 10, verse 7. So pastors are to be supported, all right? 1 Corinthians 9:9, you know these scriptures. For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. And Paul says, now, is it oxen God is concerned about? Well, no, we know it can't be. He loves oxen. He created them, but oxen can't read the Bible, all right? So he says here, is it oxen we're concerned about, or does he just say it altogether for our sakes? Well, for our sakes, no doubt, for it is written that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be a partaker or share in that hope. So Paul says, listen, if God says, you know, that he wants to take care of his oxen, how much more should you take care of pastor oxen? Amen? You know, don't muzzle Pastor Ox. You know what I'm saying? And so you're to provide for him. Let him eat something and so forth. He says in 1 Corinthians 9:11, he says, if I've sown you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap material things? So that's what we do. Those that are in the ministry, we sow spiritual blessings. Amen? That is eternal. Material things, that's what belongs to you. The material things are temporary. Okay? And so Paul is saying, listen, they have a right to live too. You know, it's like, if you go to church here, I mean, you know, what's good here, if you're being spiritually fed here, you don't pay for it at another place, amen? If you eat at In-N-Out Burger, do you pay at McDonald's? No. Okay, I just want to make sure you got that one. 1 Corinthians 9:14, Paul continues. He says, even so the Lord has commanded, that's Matthew 10:10, he has commanded what? That those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. And I want to make a note about this. You know, I've been in the ministry long enough and preached at many different places and know many different pastors and know many different methods that pastors sometimes employ. You know, loved one, listen, you never ministered for money, to earn money. God provides, amen? And we the church should always obey about the supporting of the pastor and all those things. That's a given in missionaries and all the rest. Amen? Which we do. But, you know, the thing is that I'm not in it for money. If I was in it for the money, I'd have never gone into the ministry. I'd have stayed where I was because I was making a lot of money. Do you understand? But not only that, loved one, you know, we should never, someone who's in the pulpit should never be a lover of money. Remember what we just learned that in chapter 3, verse 3. The qualifications, that they should not be lovers of money. Now, money's not bad, but they shouldn't love money. Does that make sense? You see a lot of that on TV today, don't you? Now, and let me say something else, too. A pastor, if you're thinking about going into the ministry, you're in seminary right now, Bible college, let me tell you, never talk about your financial needs in your sermons. And the church says, amen. No, you don't do that. That's wrong to do those things. So with all that being said, now we move to God's protection for pastors and elders. Lord knows they need it. It says, do not receive an accusation against an elder, a pastor, except from two or three witnesses. Now, this language in the original here is like a trial or a formal hearing, okay? And Paul issues Timothy a command. He says there, do not receive or do not even entertain an accusation. What is an accusation? Well, someone's made a claim that the pastor is sinning or he's doing something that he should not be doing. And so the accusation, Paul says, is only to ever be considered in the mouth of two or three witnesses, and they have to swear to it, all right? And they also have to be present to do those things. You know, if you read the law of the witnesses in Deuteronomy, that'd be a good thing for you to do later. But, you know, I think it's Deuteronomy, it's chapter 17, I believe, verse 6. You know what happens, you know, when two or three witnesses and they come forth and they testify about something that's happened? You know what happens to that individual? They kill them. Aren't you glad we're not under the law? Whew, man. So, you know, verse 19, you know, it's hard. Let me be very transparent. I would rather be teaching anything but these verses. You know, because they're talking about the pastorate. Does that make sense? You know, and it's the Word of God, and I love the Word of God, but I know any pastor would say, can we just get on over to the next chapter? But we have to address this because it's so important. It says, do not receive an accusation against an elder, against a pastor, against a deacon, against someone in ministry. It says, except from two or three witnesses. Now, verse 19 is one of the greatest and most serious sins in the church today. And whenever accusations are made, and there are so many today, most of the people who make them, they don't feel guilty or regret about doing that. And it's staggering, I mean, to realize how many believers they gossip and how many believers make accusations and then pass them on to others without any facts, whether they are true or false. And boy, that just spreads. It's unbelievable. You know, after all these years in ministry, I'm still shocked. I really am. That, you know, whenever accusations are made or the lies are spread or rumors are going forth and so forth, or when I receive letters, and I always receive, and that's just the way it is, and they start out telling me how much they love me, then there comes that big but, and then they tell me how horrible I am, but they don't sign their name. I love those people. No, listen, you know, it's just amazing, you know, because whenever those things go through the church, I always tell people, if there's something flying around, why don't you just come and ask me? I'll tell you. I have nothing to hide. I'll lay it out, man. But you know what that does when accusations are made and they float through any church? Does it hurt the church? Yes, it does. And also, it causes the body of Christ to be in sin. Did you know that? Yeah. Listen, you know, it's amazing. You know, just this week I had to deal with two accusations, just this week alone. Now, some of you may remember years ago when my wife, you know, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And so no one knew except a select few of people, nothing against anyone in the church, but I went to those that I knew that really prayed. Amen. You know what I mean. And so the church board, of course, knew, but no one was told for months. Well, what happened, you know, when Becky had to start going through chemo, you know, and she was so sick and weak, and she couldn't attend church, okay? So after a long period of time, nobody saw her. Well, there was a rumor that just, I mean, went through the church. It was unbelievable that we were divorcing. And so I'll never forget it. I was walking up to the pulpit. I had a deacon who's no longer here. They moved. A deacon stopped me right there, and he grabbed me by the arm. He says, Bill, he said, you must address this today. That it is on fire through the church here. I said, what? He said that you're divorced. And I said, what? And I had to get up, and I had to share that. Do you understand? Oh, you know how hard that is? And you say, well, Bill, why didn't you tell the church? And I'll tell you why. Because I've been in the ministry long enough to know that when I'm with people who are really suffering, the things that other people do to them, and we didn't want, you know, 15 different recipes to get well, you know what I'm saying. And, you know, here's a bowl, eat the cabbage, and, you know, and all of that. And then we had people making the little hats for her hair. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So we didn't want that. And so, but anyway, that's what I'm talking about, you know, about the spreading that stuff around and so forth. And those who undermine this scripture, now listen very carefully, those who undermine, verse 19, undermine the authority of God. That is, just, listen, and that's certainly not a Christian being led by the Holy Spirit. I really believe that Christians who violate and don't obey verse 19 is somehow or another, their minds or hearts have to be closed off to the Word of God, because that is exalting themselves above the Word of God. Amen? Man, that's a scary thing to me. And it means that God's Word, or a section of God's Word, has absolutely no effect. Always go to the source, and that's what's important.
Well, once again, we're out of time, but Pastor Bill will complete today's message on tomorrow's broadcast. And we encourage you to join us again. My name is Brian Whitaker, For Pastor Bill and all of us here at Love Never Fails, thank you for listening today. Until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.